As we bring our service to a close tonight, we do want to turn to the Word of God. And I want to share with you a verse that the Lord wrote upon my heart. So I do my readings this morning. And I was reading the Psalms. I actually had another message prepared for tonight. But as I was reading this Psalm today, the Lord just blessed me with a verse. Not a very well-known verse, I would imagine, but certainly a verse that really blessed me. And I just want to share this with you tonight. Psalm 94. And I trust and pray that the Lord will just give us a word as we have entered into this year. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when will ye be wise? He hath planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? And he that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Verse 70. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Stop there, verse number 19. And I believe that there's such great truth and comfort in this verse. It says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. As I read this psalm, I have to say, my thought was, is this not a picture of today? Is this not a picture of today? The wicked, the proud, acting in their sin, boasting of their sin, and arguing, the Lord shall not see it, nor shall he regard it. As if the Lord has no authority. As if the Lord has no power. As if the Lord doesn't know anything about them. And they're just going to go in defiance of God's word and of the person and the work of the Savior. And they're going to do their own thing, their own way. And you know, sometimes as we think about the world, as we think about the state that it's in, our thoughts can be bombarded with the problems and the trials and the difficulties of life. You see, this verse speaks about my thoughts. It speaks about more than that. It speaks about the multitudes of my thoughts. And the first thing I notice in this verse is that there are many things vying for our attention in our thoughts. If you were to sit down and consider the many thoughts that pass through your head in just an hour, never mind one day, we really would be amazed at the mental capacity that we have. So many things come into our mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes I start thinking about one thing, my mind's taken away to something else, and that reminds me of something else. By the time I finish my thought process, I'm nowhere near where I started. So many things come in and consume our thoughts. There's personal thoughts. Sometimes we think about our hopes and our dreams and maybe our disappointments, our failures. Sometimes we compare ourselves to others and say, oh, I'm not like him or I'm not like her, or I wish I was more like him or I wish I was more like her. Sometimes our thoughts are the focus on other people, our relationships, our families, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbours. Maybe those who don't agree with our way of living or our beliefs or our faith and don't live the way that we do. And sometimes we think about these things and try and weigh them up in our mind. Sometimes our nation. Sin is applauded and promoted and worshipped. False religion in every hand. Man worshipping everything but the Lord. There's a lack of the fear of God. There's great injustice in our world, in our courts. And there's lies told by those in authority and really should know better. And there's great uncertainty. And you know what? All these things can come into our minds. And there's so much vying for our thoughts today, and really in this age of information, and we're living in an information age, if something happened across the world decades ago, you didn't hear about it until it traveled over, whether by letter and then by newspaper and then by radio and then by television. Now, within seconds, you can see it. Now, if somebody's got a phone, they'll video it and you can see it happening live throughout the world. We're bombarded on every side by information, always vying for our thoughts and our attention and our mind. But the second thing I notice about this is that there is a danger that we would be overwhelmed, discouraged, defeated, and despondent in our thoughts. You see, as the psalmist speaks here, he says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Now, thy comforts, that's speaking about thoughts of God, truths about God, the words of God. But there are also other thoughts in his mind, and they do not delight his soul. And we all know what that's like. We often feel just overwhelmed with the many worries and fears, and we often lose focus, and sometimes we forget what's important in life. We get taken up with these thoughts of things that are wrong and things that we worry about. And we're real worriers, and you know, as someone once said, the worrier is just like a little hamster in a wheel. He wears himself out and gets nowhere. And we all know what that's like. And we're so worried and anxious over the things that are around us and our hearts and our minds. Sometimes they fail us for fear. We lose focus. We forget what's important. We forget that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Sometimes we let our thoughts run away with us. We let them be undisciplined. We think and fantasize and let our minds go to places that they ought not to go. And maybe we'd like to say this to someone, or we'd like to do this to someone. Or what if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? And our minds are taken up with these things. But what we find here in this verse, not only are there many things that are vying for attention, not only is there a great danger that we will be overwhelmed by our thoughts and by the information we receive, but praise God, there's a wonderful truth in this passage, and I pray that every believer takes it home tonight and lives in this year in the will of God with this truth. Thy comforts delight my soul. The comforts of God delight my soul. You see, there are things that will always thrill the soul of a Christian whenever they think upon them. And I believe in this information age that the devil is so subtle, and things that we think are legitimate to think about and spend our time concerned over and worrying over, friend, they're taking us away from thinking about the things of God and the person of Christ. What does Scripture say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And you know, we know it, and we can quote it, and we can say it, but you know, we need to act upon it, don't we? And the reality is, dear believer, coming into this year when we'll be bombarded with more information than ever before, more things to worry about or cause us concern than ever before, we need to discipline our minds and our hearts not to wander away, not to get frivolous, not to get caught up with the craziness of the world, but to be focused upon Christ. Why? Because when we focus upon him and he is the center of our thought, then we're strong in the Lord. Then we're satisfied. Praise God, we're stable. And trusting, as we learned in the prayer meeting just before this service, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Resting sincerely upon his promises. What are thy comforts? What are the comforts of God? What brings comfort to the soul of the Christian? I'm leaving these with you in our times through. First of all, as we think about the comforts of God, we think about this. He is my Savior. And therefore, I am eternally secure. He's my Savior. Is it wonderful to say tonight, I am his and he is mine? Wonderful to know tonight that it is well with my soul. And should I not live for another hour in 2020, I will be in glory with my Savior. Not because of any life I've led, not because I go to a certain church, not because I was baptized or anything like it, but because one moment in my life's experience, I repented from my sin and I trusted in the finished work of Christ. I called on the Savior to wash me in his precious blood. Are you saved tonight? Can you say he is my Savior? Friend, in the midst of life's difficulties and storms, yea, even in the face of death, this comfort will delight your soul. He's my Savior. And then secondly, he is my Lord. He's my Lord. And that means my times are in his hands. Nothing will happen to you tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, in this next decade that we have entered into, nothing will happen outside the will of God. Nothing will happen unknown to our Lord. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. And so often we wonder, how is this going to work out and what am I going to do? God knows the way. And we spent more time getting to the Word and saying, Lord, lead me, instead of worrying about how it's going to end. I believe we'll be happier and we'll be further forward than we are. He is my Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know and be able to leave it there? I love that hymn that's often sung. I will leave it all to Jesus, for I know he understands. Things in life I cannot alter, I will leave in Jesus' hands. There's a great peace in casting your burden upon the Lord. Friend, he will sustain you. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. The Bible says he's my shepherd. It says in verse 18 of this psalm, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You see, the psalmist at one point was slipping. Well, they're in despair or despondency or slipping into sin, whatever it was. He said, Lord, I'm slipping and falling. And the Lord in his mercy reached down and grabbed him up. Isn't it wonderful to know we have a shepherd who's with us all the way? And he lifts us up when we fall. And he brings us back to the fold. We're always under his care. Psalm 121. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Even when we're at our most vulnerable, with our eyes closed and unconscious in many ways to the world, the Lord is watching over us. He's the shepherd that loves the sheep, gave himself for the sheep, guides the sheep, and protects us from the attack of the evil one. Not only that, but we read in the Word of God, he is my captain, and therefore I'm on the winning side. Humanly speaking, and I say this very carefully, humanly speaking, it seems to be that the Christian is in a perilous position today in Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom. It seems to be evil is really rising. The devil's mad, kicking against everything he kicks against. But I'll tell you, you remember this. No matter how much power and seeming victory the devil appears to gain, God is the winner. He will win. And every wicked mouth will be stopped. And every wicked plan will be thwarted. And someday, praise God, every wicked person will be brought to account. What does it say in God's word? It says there in verse number 22, but the Lord is my defense. And my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them, that's the wicked, their own iniquity. And shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. God can stop wickedness like that. Let me ask you a question. Are the people of God praying for that? Is the Church of Jesus Christ truly on its knees saying, Lord, please stop the wave of wickedness that is sweeping over our nation? How bad is it going to have to be before we bow? How far and how much are we going to have to experience before we call? I beg you, child of God, get to the prayer meeting and pour your heart out before God. Yes, we're on the winning side and God can move, but he moves in response to the prayers of his people who are clean, who are holy, whose hands are not filthy with the sins of the flesh, but are pure in their walk with him. Praise God for that day when sins shall be no more. Finally conquered when we get home. And then finally, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my shepherd, he's my captain. And lastly, but certainly not least, he's my friend. He's my friend. And that means I am loved. And every believer at times has to go through difficulties in life and even lonely places. And you all know what that's like. And the devil will come around and he'll whisper, does anybody really care? Does anybody really care? Does the Lord even care? Would he allow you to go through this? Where is he now? I love that hymn in our hymn book. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Friend, never, never, never accuse the Lord of not caring for you or forgetting about you, turning his back on you. He doesn't do that. He would cease to be God if he did. But he's loved us with an everlasting love. He cares for us more preciously than any mother cares for a child. A friend, his heart is touched. He's touched with our grief. Song of Solomon says, this is my beloved. And this is my friend. And oh, may God grant us this year that in that relationship where we walk and talk with our Savior, that love will grow deeper than ever before. We'll come running to the house of God, glad to come because we're ready and desiring to hear what God would say to us. We'll go to the Word in our homes to see what God would say to us. We'll get out there to do the work of God, to see how God's going to move. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. And as I thought upon those thoughts today, I thought, you know what? The comforts of God do delight my soul. Friend, the next time you're discouraged, overwhelmed, despondent, feel like giving up, giving in, can't go on, remember this verse. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And you get alone with God and you consider who he is as he's revealed in Scripture. Remember those promises. Remember those beautiful pictures of the Savior in Scripture. And it'll not be too long before your heart's bubbling over, not with fear, not with concern, but with joy. Joy causing you to be strong in the Lord. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and it's all you could do to be here. Maybe life has been difficult. Maybe this week has been difficult. Maybe today has been dark. Friend, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. May God grant he bless these words to our hearts tonight. We're going to conclude our service tonight by turning to 482. 482. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. We're going to sing verse 1, verse 2, and verse number 4, and then we'll remain standing for our closing prayer. Verse 1, 2, and 4 of 482. Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing us safely into a new year, new opportunity to serve thee. And we pray, O Lord, that you will bless each believer in this meeting. Lord, as we leave tonight, may we leave resolved to go through with God. More thoughts on thee, O Lord, and less on this world. O Lord, we pray for those going through dark valleys tonight. Comfort them, we pray, by thy word. Lord, we know there's no comfort like the comfort of God. Pray, Lord, for those who are in a good place right now and they're walking with God and they know the joy of the Lord is their strength. Lord, keep them thinking about the Lord and not to forget him in the day of blessing. And Lord, if there's one in this gallery and they're not saved, may they start 2020 the best way any person could start, by coming to the Savior, confessing their sin, and asking for a cleansing in that precious blood. Oh Lord, thou hast been so merciful to us. We can say tonight, Lord, as we even thought in these few moments about our Savior, our hearts have been blessed. Lord, thou art altogether lovely, and therefore help us to love thee more. Take us to our homes in safety. Oh Lord, please save our families this year. Please move in this congregation. O Lord, make thy mighty arm known before us. Bless us and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name, for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. We pray, Lord, to bless you as you travel home.